the show of stars that came in down at the Municipal Theater. We had Dick Clark's Caravan of Stars. Chuck Berry came and played at the Continental Roller Rink. It was just west of 11th and Peoria. It's now part of the interstate system at this point now. It's just gone. Jerry Lee Lewis was another one. Jerry Lee Lewis, I could tell you a quickie, funny story about him. He had developed a reputation for tearing up pianos. If you ever watched him play the piano, you could understand why, because he would pound on it, he'd put his feet on it. And so when we promoted the fact that Jerry Lee was going to come in and do what we called a record hop, only with live entertainment, I went to get a piano, and I couldn't get one. Jenkins Music Company wouldn't rent me one. I tried a couple of other people. No, we heard the promotion on the air, Jerry Lee, we can't take a chance on that, can't take a chance. But I found one guy that's a friend of mine. He had a little blonde piano about the color of these desks, and he had just a little spinet. And I said, would you please let me borrow your piano? I said, I promise you it'll be okay. Well, I was promising nothing because I didn't know. I hadn't talked to Jerry Lee or anything. Anyway, he said, okay, I'll let you do it. So we made arrangements to get the piano to the stage at the Continental Rink. Jerry came in that morning or early afternoon. He wanted to go down and see the piano and see the setup for the stage. And so we took him down there, and I said, Jerry Lee, I got something I got to ask you. Yeah? I said, please, please. I had more trouble getting a piano. I almost had to cancel this thing because I couldn't get a piano. They were afraid of you. And he's just looking at me, and I said, you know why? He said, okay. And I said, please, this piano belongs to a friend of mine. It is not rented. It's just a friend of mine. Loan me this piano. Please don't tear it up. He said, don't worry about it. Well, that kind of response makes me wonder. But he was great. He absolutely played it just like a piano ought to be handled. I mean, he got up and did his thing and so forth, but his feet didn't touch the keys. He didn't stand up on top of it. He didn't bang it around with his fist or anything like that. It was in fine shape when we got through, and he did exactly that. There was no problem.
All these performances in Tulsa, what venue were they held in?
The ones I'm talking about there with Jerry Lee and Chuck Berry, they were here at other times at the Municipal Theater, but they were also part of a big show, like as I mentioned, Dick Clark's Caravan of Stars or the Show of Stars. Those were big shows that came in. They would have a dozen to 15 different acts. I mean, it would not be uncommon to have Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, Freddie Cannon, Paul Anka, all these people would be on the same show. It's when they were just starting out. They'd come out and do one song and they'd go off. Come out and do one song and they'd go off. But in this case with Jerry Lee, that was at the Continental Roller Rink. And Chuck Berry was there also, and Conway Twitty was there, David Gates. David Gates is a Tulsa boy. He backed up most of these acts, and he had a band. A fellow by the name of Russell Bridges, now known as Leon Russell, was his piano player. They would come in, this four- or five-piece group, and they would play and back up these artists. Well, that was a good start for David because he got acquainted with some of these guys. And we'd pay David's band $85 or something like that to do this. We might pay the artist 10 times that, which was nothing compared to today's pay. But the thing about it was that David wanted to work those gigs, and he did it. He did a great job on it, and it was just remarkable how his group with Russell Bridges, or Leon Russell, as part of it. And that was before he was Leon Russell. I don't know if you know where the name Leon Russell came from or not.
Where?
Leon Russell came from the fact his first name is Russell, his last name is Bridges. But when he and Gates, and I don't know if they went at the same time, went to Los Angeles, they were both playing as sidemen in different groups. In other words, big stars would come in before they were stars. They said, well, we need a piano player. Well, there's this guy down here from Tulsa, Leon. And they called him Leon because everybody, if they knew anything about country music, they knew who Leon McAuliffe was. And Leon McAuliffe was the steel guitar guy for Bob Wills' band. So he picked up this nickname of Leon. And that's where he picked up Leon Russell. That's where it came from. They would play at the Continental Rink. Sometimes we had these events at the Cimarron Ballroom where KRMG used to be located. They moved and then they tore the ballroom down. That was a sad thing.
So you were around all these people then, and Dick Clark, did you have any interaction with him at all?
Well, boy, this goes back, but this was the thing where he was taking his Caravan of Stars all over the country. Of course, he was doing his Saturday Bandstand show, and on that show, he would promote the cities that he would be in the next week, and then he'd be back in time to do the show live on Saturday from Philadelphia or New York, wherever he was doing it. As it turned out, we booked the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars. And from day one, he was supposed to be here. He was supposed to be here to MC the show and do the whole thing. We had it on Dick Clark and the Caravan of Stars, in person, Dick Clark and all this stuff. I don't know who was on the show. It didn't matter. But the point was, he was going to be here. Well, I happened to see the bandstand show. I turned it on the week before he was due here. I wanted to see him just mention Tulsa. That was what I wanted to see. He mentioned about two places he was going to be, neither of which was Tulsa. But then he said, the show will also be in Tulsa next so-and-so. And he would always say, I'll see you in Sioux City, or I'll see you in St. Louis, or I'll see you in Dallas. He didn't say that. So I got on the phone Saturday afternoon and made a phone call to my contact. And I said, is Dick Clark going to be here for this show next whatever it was, Friday or Saturday night? Well, no, he's not scheduled to be there. Oh, yes, he is. And I didn't have a contract that said he was going to be there in person, but that was the understanding from day one. So by Monday, I was talking to one of his management people, a gal by the name of Rosalind Ross, and she said, I just don't think that was ever part of the arrangement. I said, well, the people I talked to, it was. She said, let me see what I can do. She got hold of Clark that day and told him the circumstance and what was going on, how we were promoting this show and had a big sale on the tickets already and so forth. He said, okay, let's see if we can work something out, because I got to do this that day, but if I can get a flight here and get a flight to there, we'll see what we can do. So in the meantime, between that Monday and whenever the show was in fact going to be on, I don't remember the night, but it was probably near the end of the week, they made flight arrangements, and at that time, they weren't flying big jets, you know, to an extent. I mean, he probably did fly on a 707 or something out of Los Angeles, which is where he was, to get to somewhere, but he didn't get that coming into here, as I recall. Anyway, as it turned out, he made all kinds of arrangements to get here, and he did get here, but not until the intermission of the show. And at that time, I talked to some of my friends at the police department and said, can we get him down here from the airport, the old municipal airport, like in a hurry? They said, we'll take care of it. So they went out and they met him. They got him in a police car or something, and they brought him down there. And they weren't siren, but they were moving pretty quick. They got him down there, and he walked in the back. And he walked up, and the first thing that stunned me is how short he was. But anyway, he came up. I walked over and I said, Dick, I'm Dick Schmitz. And I said, thank you for going to all this trouble. He said, I don't know how this all happened. He said, but we made it. I'm glad I'm here. I'm sorry I'm late. I said, don't worry about it. We knew he was on the way when they took the break for the intermission. And I went out, a scooter or somebody went out and said, Dick Clark is on the way. He just arrived at the airport and the plane was late. We blamed the plane, the whole routine. So he got here and he came on stage and he just wowed everybody. And he was just a delight to work with. He really went over and above to come and do this program for us. It was just tremendous.
Other names that go back there. Smothers Brothers, they were big back then.
Boy, they were funny. And they appeared, you know, by themselves. They didn't appear with any other group. Roger Williams did a number of concerts for us. Just a great guy. Just a very, very informal type person and a wonderful musician.
What about Ray Charles? Did you
bring Ray Charles? There was a great story about Ray Charles. And he had just hit big time with his record, I Can't Stop Loving You. Now, he'd been big in the rhythm and blues and the rock, you know, What'd I Say and I Got a Woman, this type of stuff. But he had never done anything quite like I Can't Stop Loving You song. So then he put out this country and western album. Well, right at the peak of that big popularity, we tied in with the Golden Hurricane Club, which was the supporting unit for the TU Sports. And it was athletically inclined, but the thing was that they raised a lot of funds for them. So they made arrangements for us to get Skelly Stadium, which was the small stadium at the time, could only hold about 22,000, 23,000 people before they had expanded any of it. But Charles was really booming at the top of the charts. So we had a chance to book him and get the stadium. So we decided, since it was going to be in August, we'd take our chances with the rain and the weather, because it didn't rain a lot in August in Oklahoma. We take our chance, and we called it Ray Charles Concert Under the Stars. Everything was just a marvelous setup. We didn't have to pay for the stadium. There were no reserve seats. We priced the tickets to something like $8 or $10 a piece. In the trade magazines, like in Billboard or Music Reporter or Cashbox, I would read about the Ray Charles concerts. And I think this was the time when Ray was having some real drug problems. And that's not a secret, so I'm going to say that. I don't know that to be a fact, but it seems to explain why in some of these venues, in Colorado, for example, and I think in Iowa somewhere, he would come on stage and be there for maybe 10 minutes. That was it. That was the concert. They were doing all these reports all over the country how bad things were because he wouldn't perform except for two or three songs. So I'm really getting panicky. It's sort of like the Dick Clark thing that I was telling you about. I'm a little panicky because we've been promoting this and it's not going to happen. Well, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't talk to his management. There's nothing. We just had to wait it out. So came the day of the concert, and came that night. They called me and said, Ray is here and so forth. I think they were at the Mayo. If they weren't there, they were in town at least. We'd agreed to meet him out there at the stadium. This concert was going to start around 7:30 or 8 o'clock when it was just getting dark. We got out there, and he was in one of the dressing rooms down there on the west side at the north end. Had his band out there doing something first. Then the Raylettes came on to do some singing. Then they took an intermission. He was going to come on after intermission. And that was the way it was promoted. I'm still just quaking in my boots wondering what's going to happen here because we had a good crowd. It wasn't a sellout or anything like that, but it was a big crowd on the west side, and the stage was set up facing the west. So he comes out of the locker room, and he's got a couple of guys on each side of him. I don't know whether they're just guiding him or his bodyguards or what, but I walked up, and the manager came up and introduced us, I guess, his manager. He said, glad to meet you, you know, just like that. But the weather was beautiful. Temperature was probably 75 degrees. Not a cloud in the sky. The stars, just exactly as we described, a concert under the stars. He comes out, ah, this is nice. This is nice, because there was no wind. It was gorgeous. And he was just enjoying the weather. And I thought, well, that's a positive reaction right off the bat. So we walk all the way down. We introduce him. He gets up on the stage, gets at the piano. And at various times, the girls would come on and sing with him when he was doing something. And he was on the stage at least 45 minutes to an hour. My recollection is it might have even been longer than that. And he played and played and played and played everything he could think of and just knocked him dead. Lucked out again, I guess. That's all I can say. But it was great.
The nice weather held him on stage, maybe.
It may very well have. May very well have.
Yeah.